The Ung family. April 1975. We have a big family, 9 in all. Pa, Ma, 3 boys and 4 girls. Fortunately, we have a big apartment that houses everyone comfortably. Our apartment is built like a train, narrow in the front with rooms extending out to the back. We have many more rooms than the other houses I've visited. The most important room in our house is the living room, where we often watch television together. It is very spacious and has an unusually high ceiling to leave room for the loft that my 3 brothers share as their bedroom. A small hallway leading to the kitchen splits Ma and Pa's bedroom from the room my 3 sisters and I share. The smell of fried garlic and cooked rice fills our kitchen when the family takes their usual places around a mahogany table where we each have our own high-backed teak chair. From the kitchen ceiling, the electric fan spins continuously, carrying these familiar aromas all around our house, even into our bathroom. We are very modern. Our bathroom is equipped with amenities such as a flushing toilet, an iron bathtub, and running water. I know we are middle class because of our apartment and the possessions we have. Many of my friends live in crowded homes with only 2 or 3 rooms for a family of 10. Most well-to-do families live in apartments or houses above the ground floor. In Phnom Penh, it seems that the more money you have, the more stairs you have to climb to your home. Ma says the ground level is undesirable because dirt gets into the house and nosy people are always peeking in, so of course only poor people live on the ground level. The truly impoverished live in makeshift tents in areas where I have never been allowed to wander. Sometimes on the way to the market with Ma, I catch brief glimpses of these poor areas. I watch with fascination as children with oily black hair wearing old, dirty clothes run up to our siklo in their bare feet. Many look about the same size as me as they rush over with naked younger siblings bouncing on their backs. Even from afar, I see red dirt covers their faces, nestling in the creases of their necks and under their fingernails. Holding up small wooden carvings of the Buddha, oxen, wagons, and miniature bamboo flutes with one hand, they balance oversized woven straw baskets on their heads or straddled on their hips and plead with us to buy their wares. Some have nothing to sell and approach us murmuring with extended hands. Every time, before I can make out what they say, the siklo's rusty bell clangs noisily, forcing the children to scurry out of our way. There are many markets in Phnom Penh, some big and others small, but their products are always similar.